Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. As always, we thank you so much for being with us today. And we begin this hour not with the business of governing, as we so often do, but rather being in business while governing. The Trump name, securing the titles and responsibilities of the presidency, and selling big worldwide. It's true for the commander-in-chief, and it's also true for his daughter and advisor, Ivanka. Now, there are policy disputes and pleas that Ms. Trump helped to change her father's mind on some issues. Ivanka Trump is an official advisor. She has a West Wing office, and she takes high level meetings with foreign leaders. At the same time, Ivanka Trump's international apparel brand that she launched in 2007 and carries her name is selling more than ever. It's raised questions about what happens when high government officials have conflicts of interest, ones that inevitably mix their personal business with the people's business.
I don't know that the critics who may say that of me, if they found themselves in this very unique and unprecedented situation that I am now in, would do any differently than I'm doing. And I felt like proximity to my father and to the White House and with my husband taking such an influential role in the administration, I didn't want to also be running a business.
Ivanka Trump says she isn't involved in her company's day-to-day decisions, but business is booming. U.S. imports of Ivanka Trump's brand are up an estimated 166% since last year. Mostly those imports come from China. Meanwhile, the Trump business has been gaining key access to Chinese markets while Ivanka Trump meets officially with Chinese leaders. In just a minute, we're going to parse the ongoing ethical quandaries embedded in these relationships. But first, we go to Shanghai. Erica Kienitz is a reporter for the Associated Press in Shanghai, and she joins me to talk about the first daughter's business dealings there. Erica, welcome.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Erica, how big is Ivanka Trump's business in China right now, and how has it grown since her father took the oath of office on January 20th?
Well, I think it's safe to say that politics has not stopped the commercial engine of Ivanka's business. She doesn't have a large retail presence in China, but she certainly has a big lifestyle brand that is sold in the United States and around the world. We looked at her company, which has announced new product lines since the election and has sought to expand its intellectual property footprint all around the world, taking out new trademark applications in Puerto Rico and the Philippines and Canada, as well as winning new trademark approvals provisionally from the government of China since the inauguration. Sales have also been doing quite well for her company.
So the trademarks and intellectual property permissions that the company's been pursuing all over the world, how important are they? What are they worth to a business like Ivanka Trump's?
Well, intellectual property is the basis for a business like Ivanka Trump's. Her company is built on licensing deals, and you can't sell the right to somebody to use your name unless you have the legal right to your name in a particular country. So trademarks can be enormously valuable things.
And those trademarks require, of course, the permission of the host government in whatever country you want to sell in.
Well, that's right. Trademarks are granted by the government, and that's why they create some ethical issues for federal officials. Because under the U.S. Constitution, federal officials aren't allowed to accept anything of value from foreign governments, and that law applies to Ivanka.
Ivanka Trump's lawyer says that she's recusing herself from specific issues related to day-to-day decisions on clothing and merchandise imports from China and other countries, but not on broader policy issues.
That's right. I think they're taking a fairly narrow interpretation of conflict of interest laws. So as a federal employee, Ivanka is subject to potentially criminal penalties for violating conflict of interest laws, which say that you as a federal employee can't weigh in on any decision making or policy that could have a financial impact on you or your spouse. So anything related to Ivanka's business would block both her and her husband, Jared Kushner, who's a senior presidential advisor, from participating in those discussions. What her lawyer has said is that Ivanka will steer clear of specific policy areas like, say, tariffs on clothing from China, because Ivanka's clothing is predominantly made in China, but that she wouldn't step back from broad swaths of policy like overall trade with China or foreign policy, so that she and Jared, under their interpretation of the law, would still have an ability to be prominent interlocutors with China for the administration.
And is it clear when you look at the growth of Ivanka Trump's business in China or the growth of her business in the United States based on Chinese imports, just how much those business interests are actually intertwined with her day-to-day job as a White House advisor? Is that easy to tell from the outside?
Well, that's a good question. It's not easy to tell from the outside. For one thing, her company is privately held, so they're under no obligations to disclose their earnings or even their corporate structure, which is pretty complicated from what information we have. So what we can do is look at third-party data, and we did that. We looked at imports from China. We looked at online sales. We looked at the sales data that one of her key suppliers reported to the SEC, and all those indicators pointed up. In some cases, very, very strongly up. So there was interesting data from a big online e-commerce fashion platform called List, which showed that some of the spikes in her sales online were directly correlated with political developments, like her father's election back in November, or even more strongly with Kellyanne Conway's comments in early February to go buy Ivanka's merchandise.
Who's been a champion for women empowerment, sure. Women in the workplace, to get to him.
Just,
so I think people can see through that.
30
go
seconds.
Go buy Ivanka's stuff is what I would tell. I'm going to go get some on myself today.
So there is market evidence that that statement by Kellyanne Conway on television that earned her a rebuke from the government ethics office, in fact, did help spike sales of Ivanka clothing and apparel here in the United States.
According to List's data, yes. We don't have data from, for example, physical retailers, what happened at Macy's and Nordstrom's and all of these shops. But we do have that online data, and that was very clear. It showed a tremendous spike. On the day that Kellyanne Conway spoke, sales were up for the month of February 2017, like 771% over February 2016.
Erica Kienitz is a reporter in Shanghai for the Associated Press, reporting on the business interests of presidential advisor and first daughter Ivanka Trump. Erica, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Joining us now to continue our ongoing conversation of ethics in the Trump administration is Norm Eisen. He's former White House ethics czar from 2009 until 2011. He's also chair of the government watchdog group CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. CREW has its own lawsuit against President Trump, alleging violations of the Constitution's Emoluments Clause, and we'll talk about developments in that case as well. Norm Eisen, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. Nice to be here again.
Well, you just heard Erica Kienitz describing the growth of Ivanka Trump's business, not only here in the United States, but also overseas. What does that growth of her business, let's say, particularly in China, while she's a key White House advisor, say to you?
It says to me that Ivanka Trump, like the entire Trump family, most of all her dad, has an extraordinary conflict of interest because she's involved in important decisions, including those that may bear upon China, and she stands to gain enormously from these valuable Chinese trademarks, and the same is true in other countries. It's very troubling.
Now, Ivanka Trump herself and through her lawyer say that she's taken steps to reduce conflict of interest or the appearance of it. Are these steps any good? She says she's not participating in any business decisions at her company. But at the same time, as we've said with her father in so many decisions, she can't unknow what her business interests are around the world when she's sitting in the Oval Office making decisions.
The steps that Ivanka has taken are positive ones, but they're not enough, Todd. First of all, again, like her father, she's not giving up the ownership interest in her business. So she's keeping the financial stake and stands to personally benefit from trademark awards and other business cash and benefits around the world. Number two, the problem is that the bare minimum that the law requires is not going to cut it here. Ivanka has an enormous conflict, not just when it comes to China, but elsewhere around the world in places where she is seeking trademarks broadly, globally, where she has business interests. She's going to need to take a further step back. When I was applying these laws in the Obama White House, and the same is true of my Bush-era predecessor, we never would have allowed this. So much more needs to be done.
Does the law apply to Ivanka Trump in the same way that it applies to her father. He is fond of saying that the law can't really touch him here, so that any adjustments he's making are sort of out of the goodness of his own decisions. Is the law the same for her?
That's a false statement by Donald Trump, like so much else that comes out of his mouth. Our founders and framers were so concerned about this that they put a limit in the Constitution on government officials accepting cash and benefits from foreign governments. So Donald Trump is bound by the Constitution. No one is above the law in the United States. Even more rules apply to lower officials like Ivanka Trump. So she's not only got serious questions that we're going to need to evaluate under the Constitution, but federal ethics laws fully apply to her. And she's got to do more.
While we have you here, I do want to get an update on your organization's lawsuit against the president challenging testing the emoluments clause in the Constitution that you mentioned. That case involves the Trump International Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue, but you've recently expanded it.
We have. The case is, I'm proud to say, accelerating, Todd. We've added this week, we've amended the complaint to add the Restaurant Opportunity Center, a consortium of hundreds of restaurants and thousands of restaurant workers that compete with the Donald Trump enterprises. And we've added as well a hotel competitor. So the case, we believed, was strong when we started, when my watchdog group crew was the plaintiff. We believe we had good standing to raise these issues. But many people said, well, it would be even better if you had competitors to come in. You have what we call in law competitor standing. That's unimpeachable. Now we have that. And we've also added other claims, including this absurd conduct with respect to the old post office, where Donald Trump is now on both sides of the lease benefiting from that. That's against the law. And we've added a set of what we call domestic emoluments claims. He's not only violating the rule against foreign government gifts, cash benefits, he's also violating another concern the founders put in the Constitution, which is state governments are not allowed to provide cash and benefits to Donald Trump, and the federal government is not allowed to do it, and yet he's raking those in. So the case is accelerating, picking up speed, and we're proud to be among those who are defending our Constitution.
Norm Eisen was the ethics czar in the White House under President Obama from 2009 to 2011. He's also co-chair of the government watchdog group CRU, which is currently involved in an emoluments lawsuit against President Trump. Norm Eisen, thanks as always.
Thank you, Todd. My pleasure.